Do I need to
leave the holding and I infest some of the Aleph beginning the fifth perek of our Masechta. From here on until the end of the Masechta, it's almost like a bunch of mini Masechtas, each one of them dealing with one topic in Halacha. All of them are going to be things that apply to Holden animals, which is what they're doing in the Masechta Holden. Some of them apply to Kodshim, some not, as we'll go through. But we have a variety of different mitzvahs and a variety of different dinim that apply when you're shechting animals, or even some of them we're going to have in later prakim things before even you shech the animal, for example, when you, for example, when you shear sheep. So there's going to be a variety of mitzvahs that apply to animals, or sometimes to birds, that are relevant to Holden, and that are relevant to Holden, and sometimes to Kodshim. So each of them is going to be like a mini Masechta of its own, dealing with one particular topic. So the Mishnah starts off. So the first one of them we're going to talk about then is the mitzvah. The first one we're going to talk about is the mitzvah of Oisei Ves Vinoi, the mitzvah that the Torah tells us. The Shor Oisei, the Torah says, an ox or a sheep, Oisei Ves Vinoi, it and its child. You know, there's a lot of feedback over there, by the way, if you don't mind muting, unless you have a question to ask. So the pasuk says, "Shor oisei," an ox or a sheep, oisei ves vinoi, if and its child, lo tishchatu b'yomechad, you should not shech on one day. So our perek is going to be dealing with the details of that mitzvah. Reasons behind the mitzvah, a couple of Rishonim talk about different reasons that Amnon gives an explanation in Moreh Nevuchim, that it's because out of Rahman, Hashem has Rahmanus for the animals, that Amnon deals with that at some length and says it's not so much Rahmanus for the animals, otherwise you shouldn't be allowed to shech them. In the first place, he says it's more that Hashem wants to, that we shouldn't act in cruel ways. The Sefer Achinuch talks about it, but symbolically the idea is that if you shech the mother, whether it's only the mother or the father, that if you shech the parent and the baby on one day, then the Sefer Achinuch talks about, it's like symbolically, as if like you're destroying the whole species, obviously not, because there's many other members of it out there, but symbolically, therefore, it shows that Hashem, even, that Hashem wants that species shouldn't, that we shouldn't cause species to become extinct, and Hashem himself protects the species as a whole and prevents it from doing that, obviously, unless there comes a point when Hashem decides that the species is no longer needed. We know there have been species that have gone extinct, but this is how the Sefer Achinuch explains it, and there are different other interesting explanations about what the symbolism is behind this mitzvah. So again, our parak is going to talk about the details of it. So the Mishnah starts off, Oisei Ves Vinoi Noig Ben Ba'aretz Ben Mechutz La'aretz. It applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside Eretz Yisrael. Now, there's not so much of a chiddush in that, because we have a general rule that the mitzvahs that apply in Eretz Yisrael are only choy that apply exclusively in Eretz Yisrael, Midaraisa anyway, of choy vaskarka are ones that have to do with the land, the agricultural mitzvahs. This is not an agricultural mitzvah. There's no particular thing. There's no particular reason we should think it shouldn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, so Rashi explained that because we're going to go on to say in the Mishnah that it applies whether to Chulin or Kodshim animals, and that's more of a Chiddush, and we're going to have to learn in the Gemara how we know that. So by the way, it mentions this as well, Bein Ba'aretz, Bein Chutz La'aretz. Tosfos points out that also this kind of same formula that we're going to have here, Noyeg Ben Ba'aretz Ben Mechutz La'aretz, this, that, etc., this kind of formula we're going to use in the headings of many of the perukim to come. We're going to have it over here, we're going to have it in connection with Gidan Noshe, we're going to have it in connection, well, we're going to have it in the next perek as far as Kisi Adam, and then many of the perukim, in many of the upcoming perukim, we're going to have variations on that, list. So therefore, so it's a same standard list, talking about Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz, the Beis Mikdash, not the Beis Mikdash, Chulin and Mikdashim, so therefore it does the whole list each time, even when there's less of a Chiddush in it. So Oisei Ves Vinoi applies in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. B'fnei Abayis, Shalai B'fnei Abayis, it applies whether the Beis Mikdash is standing or not, and later on in the Sefta, the Gemara explains that the reason why there's a Chiddush in that is given that this Pasuk, B'Shor Oisei, is mentioned in connection with Korbanos, maybe you would think it applies only when there are Korbanos, only when there's a Beis Mikdash, and therefore the Mishnah has to tell us that now. Next, the Chulin of a Mekdashin, it applies both to Chulin animals and to Kodshim, and we're going to learn that we're going to discuss in the Gemara how we know that it applies there. It doesn't apply to birds, by the way, and it doesn't apply to wild animals either. It applies only to the three domestic kosher animals, cows, sheep, and goats. The Mishnah continues. Ketzad, so what does this mean? How does it apply to Chulin and Kachin? So now we have to consider a few different dinim that are going to come into play over here. We have, first of all, Oseves Benoi being a lav, then there's going to, like most lavim, there is malchus for it. In addition, you also have, though, two other factors that we have to consider. We know that you're not allowed to shecht kodshim outside the Bismikdash. We learned about it extensively at the end of Zvachim. A person does, then he's chayiv koris. And we know also that you're also not allowed to shecht chulin animals in the Azara. That's called chulin ba'azara. There's no malchus for it because it's derived from an eseh, but nevertheless it's osur, and the meat of it is going to be osur to eat. And for that matter, a kodshim that was shechted outside the Bismikdash, also their meat is going to be also to eat. So we're going to be taking up those points as we go through the Mishnah. In addition, we also have to take into consideration of something called mechusar zman. Mechusar zman means when it's premature. Now, the classical example of that is, for example, so you're not allowed to shecht. The Torah tells us you can't bring a korban less than 8 days old. It's a pasuk right before the one that we're dealing with now, actually. You can't bring a korban until it's at least 8 days old. And if a person does, then it's not a kosher korban. That's called mechusar zman. But here we're going to talk about, you also have mechusar zman in the sense that, suppose, for example, so you have a mother animal and a baby animal. Suppose that you or somebody else shefted the mother animal that day, then the baby is not available to be brought as a korban the whole rest of that day. And therefore, in that sense, it's mechusar zman. If now it were to be shechted as a korban, it would be possible because, in effect, it's not in the proper time frame for it to be brought as a korban. So now the Mishnah is going to go through a lot of different permutations of where these various dinim are going to come into play. So the Mishnah starts by saying, if a person shechts oseves v'noi, and they're both cholin, and they're both outside the azara, so it's cholin, and it's outside the azara, and everything's good, but it's oseves v'noi. Shneim k'shedim, both of them are kosher to eat. Now, why do we need to say that? Why do we think otherwise? Rashi says, because later on in the Mishnah, we're going to have examples where both of them are fossil, so therefore it mentions that both of them are, kosher. On the other hand, Tosfos explains that there is a point, we have a rule later on in the Sefer that the Gemara brings, that when there's pasuk in Parashas Yireh, lois seichal kol te'eva, don't eat anything that's repulsive, and you learn from that it means anything that Hashem said is also to do, then you're not allowed to eat. It's one of the sources, for example, that we learn that you can't eat basa b'chalav, and there's a number of other things where we learn from that what you can and can't eat. Now, given that over here a person was over on Oseves V'noi, so you would have thought maybe it's included in Te'eva, and maybe in fact they should be, and maybe therefore they should be also to eat, and therefore the Mishnah has to tell us that, no. The Bahag brings, and many Rishonim bring from him, that actually it's true it will be Mutter Medaraisa, and they discuss Lomdos of why indeed this rule of Lasecha Kol Te'eva, and another rule that says whenever the Torah says not to do something, if he does, it's not considered effective, why those rules don't apply over here. One thing is because the Shchita itself is not the problem, just the problem that he's doing it outside the proper time, but nevertheless, the Bahag brings, and many Rishonim bring from him, that it is in fact also Medirabbanon to eat the second animal, that the Chachamim penalized him for that. In any case, so that's the point of mention. So those are various points of why the Mishnah tells us that they're both kosher. But in any case, Rashini, Sofer Gesar Boyim, the one who shechted the second animal is going to get malchus. The one who shechted the first one is not yet over because it has to be Oseves V'noi. Now we're going to learn in the Gemara, it doesn't matter which order they were shechted in, parent or child. But whichever one, Shech, the second one, is going to be getting malchus. Sofer Gesar Boyim literally means he absorbs the 40, meaning that he's going to have to absorb the 40, or rather 39, malchus. Next. Kodshim bachotz, what if both of them were kodshim and people shechted them outside the azara? And it doesn't matter, by the way, whether it was the same person or a different person who shechted both of them. Either way, once one of them is shechted, then the other one is off limits for the rest of that day. Kodshim bachotz, what if both animals, the mother and the baby, were kodshim and it was outside the Bismikdash? Harishin, chayav kodesh, well then the first one is going to be chayav kodesh for shechting kodshim outside the azara. Ushneim Tzulim, both of them are going to be possible because they were shechted out, because again, they were shechted outside the Azara. Ushneim Tzulim, Sarboim, and both of them are going to be getting Malkus. The first one because he shechted Tzulim and because he shechted Kodshim outside the Beis Mikdash, and the second one because he was over on Osev Es Vinoi. Tosfos points out there is an opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak that says that in the Gemara in Makos that says that whenever a person is chayiv kares and gets malchus, then automatically he's potter from the kares. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, our Mishnah wouldn't go because then if he's going to be getting malchus for shechting the kodshin outside of the smithet, then and if instead he's getting malchus, if instead you're going to give him malchus for that, then he's not going to be getting kodesh. The second person maybe could still get both because they're for two different yisurim, one oisav espinoy and one kodeshim bachotz. But the first one at least should not be chayev both kodesh and malchus according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Obviously, if there were no eidim v'asura, then there's no malchus to speak of. Then he's chayev kodesh and both. Next. Chulin b'fnim, what if both of them were chulin and they were shechted in the Azara? Shneim psulin, now both of them are possible because now you have chulin shenishchatu ba'azara, which is also to eat. Now, there's no malchus for shechting, for shechting chulin ba'azara, but v'asheni, so for example, however, the second one is going to be getting malchus because of osev es vinoi. The first one only did something, which is, the fact that you're not allowed to shecht chulin ba'azara is derived from an essay. And it's a lav that's derived from an S, and you don't get malchus from that. So the first one's not getting malchus. The second one is not getting malchus for chulin ba'azara, but he is getting malchus for the fact that he's over on osev es vinoi. Lava bamitol eser, that's what it's called. So there's no malchus for lava bamitol eser, but there is malchus for osev es vinoi, which is not bamitol eser, and therefore only the second one gets malchus. But both animals are also to eat because they're both chulin ba'azara. Next, kodshim b'fnim. What about if both of them are kodshim and they're both in the azara? Harishin kosher or potter. So the first one is kosher and it's potter. Now when we say potter, doesn't mean he did anything wrong. We're saying potter as opposed to in the other cases we were saying chayev. So therefore here we're using potter for parallelism. The first one is perfectly fine. He shechted kodshim in the azara and there was no osev es vinoi and he's all fine. Vasheni, so for this Adroim apostle. However, the second one is going to be getting malchus because osev es vinoi. Now, the korban is going to be possible because of the chosur zman. Because now, once the first one was shechted, the second one is supposed to be off limits all that day. Therefore, it means that now when he or somebody else shechted the second one, then it's mechosur zman. It's the equivalent of bringing an underage korban. So therefore, so now it's going to be possible. But in addition, he's also getting malchus for being over on osev es vinoi. Next, chulin v'kodshim b'chutz. What about if there are two animals and one of them is chulin and the other one is kodshim? Now, so let's say someone shechted, again, the same person or two different people, doesn't matter for our purposes, shechted the chulin one outside, shechted both of them outside the Beis Hamikdash. First the chulin, then the kodshim. Harishin kosher or potter. The first one is kosher and potter. Again, no real chiddush that he's potter. What we mean, in other words, what he did is perfectly fine. He shechted a normal chulin animal outside the azara. The second one is getting malchus, but the animal is possible. It's possible because it's kodshim that was shechted outside the azara. He's getting malchus for osev es vinoi. Now, what about why is he not getting malchus or kodesh for why is he not getting malchus or kodesh for kodshim lachotz? The reason is because one other rule that I forgot to mention before that comes into play over here is that only when a korban is roi lovin, only when a korban is roi lovin b'fnim, it's suitable for being brought inside in the azara, then if a person shechts it outside the azara, he's chayav paros. When it's not for one reason or another, roi lovin b'fnim, this is actually in today, in yesterday's, and today's Namam Shlosha Parakim talks about these given. If a korban, if an animal is for whatever reason not roi to come and be brought as a korban inside the Beis Mikdash, then a person is not chayav kares for offering it outside the Beis Mikdash. Now, in this case, once the first animal was shechted, then the second one is no longer available the rest of that day to be brought in the Beis Mikdash. Therefore, at this point, it's not called roi lovin b'fnim. It's
Therefore, it's not called the royal love of Hashem, and it's not
something that right now is capable of being brought as a korban. Therefore, that second person is going to be potter from Torres for bringing it outside, but nevertheless, he's getting malchus for isavespinoi. Okay. What about the other way around? Kotchin b'chol and b'chol. What about if first he checked with the kotchin animal outside the azara and then the fallen one? So then harishin chayav kares. The first one's going to be chayav kares. So now that's cholin. That's kotchin b'chol. And there's no any royal law name over here. It was perfectly capable of being brought inside of this mikdash. Well, possible. And it's going to be possible because tiki. And it's going to be osur b'hana because it was checked outside of this mikdash. Basheni kosher. The second one is kosher because, as we said before, eating osur espinoi doesn't make it also to eat. So as we talked about a few minutes ago, the various reasons behind that, Ushneim, so it's gonna start going, but both of them are gonna be getting malchus. The first one for Shecht and Kotch and Lachutz, and the second one for Isavespinoi. Again, you know, point to the Yitzchak, it's either Kodesh or Malchus for Shvodechutz, not both, whereas going to the Tanna of our Mishnah, it can be both, it can be getting Kodesh for it as well as Malchus. Next, Cholin v'Kodshim b'fnim. Now, all of these, you have many different scenarios that the Mishnah is bringing over here. And each one of them, like, there's a certain chiddush in them that we wouldn't have realized. In fact, Tosfos points out that there are actually other cases as well. Once we go through all the cases in our Mishnah, we'll realize there are other cases the Mishnah could have mentioned as well. But by those, there's no chiddush, and therefore the Mishnah didn't bother going through those. The Mi'iri makes another point as well. He says that after all, each one you have the Tana wants to mention things that have one thing in common and one thing not in common. So they either have they're both kochim or they're both chulin, or one's kochim and one's chulin, but they're both shefted in the same place outside the azara or in it. He doesn't want to mention things where they're different in both ways. For example, we're not going to talk about if it was kochim b'chutz and chulin b'fnim, or the other way around. Because the mission doesn't need to get into that level of detail. Once we have the principles, then everybody will understand what will be in those cases as well. Okay. The Mishnah continues, cholin v'kotchin b'fnim. If the two animals were cholin and kotchin, and both of them were, and they were shechted in that order, first the cholin one, then the kotchin one, both inside the azara, shneim sulin, both of them are going to be possible. The first one, cholin b'azara, and the second one, because now the first one was shechted, and the second one is b'chus hazman, b'asheni, so for that boy, and the second one is going to be getting malchus, because oisav espinoi. One point is also a chiddush with a number of these cases about the person being chayv malchus for osur espinoi. We're going to discuss later on in the parak the concept of shchita she'ena ra'uya. Now, say for example, normal shchita makes the animal mutter to eat, but in some of these cases over here, for example, the kodshim that are mechusas man and were shechted inside the azara, or the different ones that we had where they were shechted outside, they're not actually able to be eaten. Because they were cholin b'chutz, or they were kodshim that are mechusas man. Now in those cases, you might argue that he shouldn't get malchus. Is that really considered a valid shchita when it's not even being mat through the animal to eat? So we're going to discuss that point later on in the sefer. Okay. The Mishnah goes on. So again, if it was first cholin, then kodshim, the cholin one is going to be possible on the grounds of cholin shenishchatu ba'azara, and therefore you can't eat it. No malchus for that, though. However, the second one already is going to be mechusas man, and therefore he's going to be getting malchus, and it's going to be possible because now it's mechusas man. But he's getting malchus for osur espinoi. Kodshim b'cholin b'fnim, what about if it was the other way around? First he shechted the kodshim in the azara, and then the cholin animal. Arishin kosher or potter. The first one is perfectly kosher. It's a perfectly kosher a carbon or potter. And he's potter. He didn't do anything wrong. Vashini, so if it was outgoing, but possible, the second one is going to be in Malchus, for Isavespinoi, and it's going to be possible because Cholin Bazara. What about Cholin Bachutz Bifnim? What about if they're both Cholin, and one of them he shechted outside the Azara and the other one in the Azara? Harishin kosher or potter. The first one's going to be kosher and potter, nothing wrong with that. Vashini, so if it's outgoing apostle, the second one's going to be getting malchus because the Osir Espinoi, and it's possible because it was a Cholin animal that was shechted in the Azara. Kodshim b'chutz b'fnim, what about if it was kodshim, one outside, one inside? Harishin chayiv kares, the first one's going to be chayiv kares for shchotechutz. Or shneim, so if it goes that way, both of them are going to be getting malchus. The first one for kodshim b'chutz, the second one for osur espinoi. Or shneim psulim, and both of them are going to be posel. The first one because it was kodshim b'chutz, and the second one because it's mechutz zman. Cholin b'fnim b'chutz, what about if they were both cholin and shepherd, one inside the Azara and then the other one outside. Harushin Posel, then Potter, the first one's gonna be Posel, because Chol and Ba'azara. However, he's Potter, because again, there's no lab in shepherding Chol and Ba'azara, and of course, you know, it's the best to know yet either, because it's the first animal. Vasheni says it was Avorim Kosher. The second one is going to be getting Malkus for Isavest Noi. However, the animal is kosher because it was Cholin shefted outside the Azara. And again, the fact that it's Isavest Noi doesn't pass away from being eaten. And the last case, Kodshin between Rachos. What about if it was Kodshin and he shefted one inside the Azara and then the second one outside? Harishin kosher and potter. The first one's kosher and potter because there's nothing wrong with it. Vasheni, so because our brain apostle, the second one's getting malchus, and it's possible because shchotifot. Now that one he's not getting chorus again because that one at this point is machosas man. Now that the first one was shefted, then the second one is off limits the rest of that day, and therefore shefting it on that day outside the azara, he's not over on shchotifot. It would only be the next day once the clock resets that he would be chayav for that, and it's not yet. So we've had many different scenarios in our Mishnah, and again, as Tosfos points out, there is possibly, if you think into it, there can be a certain chidush in each one of them, as opposed to other cases that the Mishnah could have mentioned, where there's less of a chidush in them, and therefore it didn't bother. And again, the Meiri says that the Mishnah wanted to focus on cases where the two animals have one thing in common. Either they're both cholin, or they're both kodshin, or they're both shepherd in the azara, or both outside it. It doesn't want to get into the detail of what happens if they're different in more than one of those factors. For example, one's cholin, one's kodshin, and one's inside, one's outside, etc. So we said three things at the beginning of the Mishnah, that it applies, that this mitzvah of Osev Esfinoi applies in Eretz Yisrael of Chutz La'aretz, and again, there's less of a chiddush in that, really, because it's Chovas Aguf, but the point is we're mentioning it because the same formula is used at the beginning of a number of the following prakim. We said it applies in the time of the Bais Hamikdash or not. That we learn later on in the sect that there's a chiddush in it, that you would think that maybe since it's mentioned in connection with Kodshim, this pasuk comes after the pasuk said that when an ox or a sheep or a goat is born, you have to wait for 7 days before you bring it as a korban. So therefore, and then it says, Oster Espinoi, so you would think maybe it applies only when there's a Bais Hamikdash, so the Mishnah has to tell us not. But now, the Mishnah had said it applies to both Cholin and Kodshim, and then the rest of the Mishnah had given us illustrations of how it applies to both Cholin and Kodshim. So let's analyze that. How do we know that this mitzvah of Osev Espinoi applies also to Kodshim? Therefore, the Pasuk tells us by saying, the Pasuk says if an ox or sheep or goat is born, and then the Pasuk says that you have to wait for 7 days before you bring it as a korban. And the next Pasuk says, an ox or a seh, by the way, is a bit of a generic word. It means both sheep and goats. So an ox or a seh. Don't sheft it and its child on one day. So the fact that we have those two psukim back to back teaches us limit of Osev Espinoi. That teaches us that Osev Espinoi also applies to Kodshin. Tosfos brings up the point. Why would we think it shouldn't apply to Kodshin? Why do we need a limud from the Pasuk in the first place? It just says generically Osev Espinoi, Losish for the Biyanafan, period. Why should we think otherwise? So Tosfos discusses, let's say, for example, you need a Korban Pesach, and maybe the Esser, the Korban Pesach, should override that, but no, Tosfos explains why that wouldn't work, because you actually have why it wouldn't work, there's a lav and an Esser involved, and therefore the Esser, the Pesach, couldn't override that. However, Tosfos says the point of the question is, that since the Pasuk starts by saying, Beshur Oseh, the Gemara is going to explain soon that the word Shur is like breaking up things and starting a new topic. So you would think, therefore, maybe it means it's a completely new topic, and it means, therefore, it doesn't apply to Kodshin. So that's how we need to know. So the answer is precisely because it says it back to back. Well, the Gemara asks, Aim of Mukdashin, Aim of Kulan Loi. Well, maybe the other way around then. Maybe Oseh Espinoi applies only to Kodshin. Maybe it doesn't apply to Kulan animals at all. And the answer is sure hipsik inyan. Yes, but when it starts by saying sure, when it starts saying the sure oise, then that breaks things up. In other words, since the previous pasuk already mentioned sure, sure that chesed is ki yivaled, so the Torah could have just continued by saying oise vestano lo sishkatu v'yemechan. When instead it introduces instead the sure oise, then it means it's kind of a new thing. So unlike the previous pasuk, which is referring only to kodshin, this one is referring to cholin as well. Okay, well, if you're going to say hipsik inyan, then maybe the aim of Chulin, aim of Mokdashin Loi, then maybe the other way around, maybe it applies only to Chulin, not to Kachin. And the answer is Ksiv Vishur, yes, but it says Vishur with a Vav, Vav Moisif, Al Inyan Rishin, teaching us that the Vav tells us to, it continues from the previous thing. So in other words, on the one hand, we have a Vav to tie them together. On the other hand, we have the way the Torah presents it, Vishur, implying as though it's a new thing, a new din of a Shur and Seh that we didn't have before. So from that, we can learn that unlike the previous one, which applies only to Kodshin, this one is a break, but there's not a break, meaning that it applies to both. It applies to Kodshin, but it also applies, unlike the previous one to hold it. Okay. The Gemara asks, "E ma kodshin kilayim loy as osav esvenoy kilayim loy." By that logic, if you're going to tell me that that osav esvenoy applies both to kodshim and fulin, then you should say that we should learn that by kodshim there are a number of kinds of cases where an animal is possible to be brought as a korban, even though and one of them is kilayim. If you have, for example, a sheep and a goat mate and have a baby, then that you're not allowed to do that anyway, but let's say it was done, then the baby is also to be brought as a korban. It's possible to be brought as a korban. So now, by kodshim, there's no, you can't bring an animal as kilayim. So you should argue, af oisav esvenoy kilayim loy, then by the same logic, if we're going to say that after all, it has a certain connection to kodshim, then you would say, when it's possible to be brought as kodshim, then oisav esvenoy should not apply. Then why do we learn in a price that osav esvenoy does apply to kilayim animals, and it also applies to a koi we're going to deal with later on, and we're going to deal with later on and daf ayin test and daf pei what exactly a koi is? There's different opinions, but one possibility is that it's a hybrid like the kilayim we're talking about over here. Another possibility is that it's an independent species, which the chachamim were not sure whether it's a behemoth or a chaya. We said that the osav esvenoy applies only to behemoths, because the Torah specifically says shor echesav ha'ez, which are all domestic animals. It doesn't apply, for example, you could shech the mother deer and the baby on the same day. But a koi, one possibility, the Gemara brings up, it's a suffix, whether it's a behemoth or a chaya. In any case, why would it be possible to tell us in the case of a suffix? We'll also discuss that later on when we get into this whole matter of a koi. In any case, the point is that now, you can't bring kilayim as a korban. So if you're going to tell me that the Torah is telling us that there's a certain connection between kodshim and osav esvenoy, and therefore that it does apply to kodshim as well and not only chulin, then maybe we should say, though, it doesn't apply to any case where the animal cannot be brought as a korban, such as where it's kilayim. And yet the Braisa tells us that, in fact, it does apply to kilayim as well. Tosfos points out, even when there's no Beis Mikdash, it's true we can't bring korbanos, but we'd be able to be makdish korbanos. If a person even nowadays were to say, this animal should be an oila, then it has the kedusha of an oila. What you do with it, there's not a lot you can do with it. We'll learn in the Masechet Shmurah, and in a few months, that's the shame, what you're supposed to do in that case. But the fact remains, it is possible to be makdish it, as opposed to a kilayim. It's impossible to be makdish it with kedusha zaguf at all. If you makdish kilayim, or any other animal that's possible for a korban, then it means, in effect, all you're doing is giving it to Bedek Abayis, you're giving it to the treasury for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. So we see it can't just be that we're saying that's comparable to kilayim. But oh, and here's another question. Sexiv, the Torah mentions not only the Torah says mentions shur and seh, but Omar Rava, and Rava says zevonaav. When it comes to the kosher animals, and the Torah gives us a list, and it says that you're allowed to, you have the different species that you're allowed to eat, and now even though we said before the word seh, when it's together with, when it goes together with the next word, then it's instead punctuated with a say, they say. But anyway, you have a says, a generic term that means sheep and goats, but you have one place where the Torah mentions them separately. Say, the sovim, the say is him. When the Torah gives us the list of kosher animals you're allowed to eat, it mentions the say of sheep and the say of goats. So
So Rava says, then we have a binyan out from that. It means to exclude kilayim, because otherwise the Torah could have written seich savim ve'izim. So it means, in other words, when is it called a seh? Only if they both, only if it's not kilayim. Now, what is that relevant to? For example, the Torah tells us that you can redeem a petah chamur with a seh. So we learn from that that you can't with kilayim, for example. We'll learn about that in Bechoros, says Hashem. In any case, the point is that we see very clearly the word seh excludes kilayim. So then that should mean that kilayim, that should mean that osev espinoi should not apply to a kilayim animal, and yet a braisa tells us that it does. Tosfos points out a couple of things in this. First of all, the pasuk also mentions shuv seh, and in any case, even if it is possible to make a kilayim between a sheep and a goat, because they're both very genetically similar, and particularly their pregnancies are the same length, it's impossible to make a hybrid between a shur and a seh anyway, because they're completely genetically different, they can't be crossbred together, and the pregnancies are different. 5 months for sheep and goats, 9 months for cattle. So anyway, instead, so the Gemara could have asked that question, but we had the Gemara is asking a better question. Tosfos also then goes and points out, well, why indeed don't we say it should apply to wild animals as well? We have a different place where the Torah mentions sure, and in the connection with you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have your ox do malacha, and we learn from that it includes all other animals as well as wild animals as well. So Tosfos gives several answers, first of all, because then it would have to include non-kosher animals as well, and of course there's no reason that we can't apply osev espinoi to non-kosher animals, you don't check then. Also, the Torah would have had no reason to say sad, or could have said sure. Also, kodshim, you can't bring wild animals. So you have all that. Now, as far as what Rashi is saying, that we learn from the fact that it says seich savim v'seizim, Tosfos points out that the Gemara actually uses it elsewhere for a different drasha. So then we don't have a binyan av from that for our case over here. So rather, Tosfos explains that what it means is we learn from the fact that it says seh by the korban pesach, that you can bring a seh, that you can bring a seh of a sheep or a goat as a korban pesach, and we learn from that, and we learn a binyan av from that. And then Tosfos goes in some detail and talks about what exactly are we learning from each of the different limudim. In any case, the question then again, so the basic question that the Gemara is asking is that we see the word seh does in fact exclude kilayim, so why over here, by osev espinoi, are we saying that it does apply to kilayim? So that, in other words, that if the mother was a sheep and the baby is a hybrid sheep-goat, for example, that the person should still be chayav for osev espinoi, why? The answer is amakra oi, because the pasuk says shur oi seh. So the word oi, l'rabas as a kilayim, the word oi, the or, comes to include kilayim. So there's your answer to both questions, therefore. So we're not learning from the binyan av, because here you have the specific word oi, and you're not saying that because kilayim, a fossil for a korban, therefore osev espinoi shouldn't apply, because the Torah is specifically telling you oi otherwise. The Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Bava Kamma that explains that we sometimes darshan the word oi differently depending on whether without it we would have thought to include or exclude a particular example. So here we would have thought to exclude kilayim because of the arguments we made, and therefore the word oi comes to tell us to include them, as opposed to you have other cases, Udiu in the Masechta, for example, when you have shor oi chesev eiz ki yivoleid, that's actually where we learn that a kilayim animal is possible for a korban, so there it's the other way around. Without the Torah telling us, we wouldn't have had any reason to think it's fossil. After all, it all comes from kosher species, and therefore the oi comes to tell us to exclude it. So it all depends on the circumstance, on the context. Anyway, so from the word oi, we learn to include kilayim. So even though they're fossil for a korban, nevertheless they're still subject to osev espinoi. All right, the Gemara says, "Hi, oi, mevoi lechalek." What do you mean? Doesn't the word oi, isn't it necessary just to divide up things? Otherwise, without the word oi, sakarad hamina ad deshachet shor uvnoi seuvnoi lo mechayev. Maybe you would think a person not chayev unless he shechts an ox or a cattle or a cow and her child and a se and her child lo mechayev. Maybe he shouldn't be chayev. In other words, if the Torah had said v'shor v'se osev espinoi, then you would say, when was a person chayev? Only if he shechts four animals on the same day. a Shur and its baby, and a Seh and its baby. So the Kamash Malon or Kamash Malon Lachalik. And therefore the Torah has to tell us the word Ori in order to divide it up and say it's either one or the other. Don't you need the word Ori for that? The answer is Lachalik mi Benoi Nafka. The answer is the fact that we have Lachalik, that we learn from the word Benoi. Because Benoi is in the singular. If it meant Bnei Hem, if it meant that you have to shecht all four in order to be chayav, then it would have said Bnei Hem. So the fact that it says it in the singular, Maharsha points out that Gemara later on is going to use the word Bnoi for a different drasha. There's two things. There's the fact that it says the word at all, and there's the fact that it says it in the singular. So then we learn the chalak from that. But the Gemara says, "Va'akatim yiboylei v'chetetanya." Still, don't we need the word "oy" for a different drasha? We learn in a brayser. Ilu nemashur v'seh uvnoi. Had it said a shur and a seh and its baby, ha'isi oimad shur v'seh uvnoi, then maybe fine. He's chayav only three. He's chayav for three animals. He'd have to, in order to be chayav, shecht a shur and a seh and the child of one of them. And therefore, Talmud Lama, Shur Oiseh Oiseh Benoi, and therefore the Torah says Shur Oiseh it and its baby. So therefore, and that teaches us that it only that a person that you only need two animals for a person to be chayav. My lab, my oy nastalei. Now, on the face of it, it sounds exactly what it sounds like. It sounds like we're learning from the word oy, that it's a Shur or a Seh. So in other words, had it said Shur Veseh Uvnoi, then you would think a person's chayav only if he shechts three animals. And the answer is loy, oy, loy. No, the Gemara is actually learning it, not from the word benoi, but rather from the word oisoi. Oisoi means it in the singular. So there you learn. So you learn from that all you need is a singular parent animal or a singular child animal in order to be chayav. So from that you learn you don't need a shur and a set. So the Gemara asks, okay, fine, that works out according to the Chachamim, who hold that the word Oisai is extra, as the Gemara is going to soon bring the Machloikas, of whether the word Oi is really necessary for the meaning of the Pasuk. But what about according to Hananiah, who again, we're going to deal with his opinion soon, who says that the word Oisai is not extra, he uses it for a different drasha. Namely, the Gemara is going to explain soon, the Chachamim and Hananiah argue on the question, does Oisiv Es Benoi apply to the father animal or only to the mother animal? So according to Hananiah, it applies to both, and he learns that from the word Oisai. So then, L'chalek Menolei, so then where is he going to know, to distinguish, to divide, and to say that a person is chayav only when that a person is chayav just for shechting a shur or a seh together with its baby, and not that it needs to be a shur and a seh and one of their babies? So the answer is l'chalak like sarach kro. Hananiah would hold that you don't need the word oy in order to divide it. It's sovala k'rab yonasen, because he holds that k'rab yonasen, the Torah doesn't even need to say the word oy between two things to mean that it's one or the other. So in other words, yeah, as we're going to go on to say now, we have machlokas between Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia. When the Torah says two things tied together with a vav, doesn't mean or. Now vav can mean and, but sometimes it can also mean or. So the two Tanoim, Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia, argue what is that? What happens when you have two things put together with a vav and without oy? Does it mean one or the other, or does it mean both of them? And we would need and if it's going to mean only one, then we have to have a different implication of a pasuk for that. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. The post says, Isha shi kalas avim ze'es imai. The post says that if a person curses his father, ze'es, and his mother, then he's chayiv misa. Now, what does that mean? Ein li ela aviv imai. You would know from that that he's chayiv misa only if he curses his father and his mother. Aviv shalai imai, imai shalai aviv minayin. How do we know that he'd be chayiv, aviv shalai imai, v'imai shalai aviv minayin? How do we know that he'd be chayiv if he curses only his father and not his mother, or only his mother, not his father? So how do we know? Minayin, how do we know he's also chayav misa? Tamad lema, ovev v'imoy kilol, therefore, the Torah later on says, at the end of that same pasuk, says, other v'imaykilo, he cursed his father and his mother. Now, in other words, we can parse out the pasuk like this. The whole pasuk goes like this: Isha sheyikalas other v'imay, man who curses his father v'es his mother, then he's chayv misa. Other v'imaykilo, he's cursed his mother and his father. Yom of boy, and therefore his blood is on his head, meaning he's liable for his own death, and he's chayv stila. The point being. Now, in the first part of the pasuk, you have the word yikalel before, together with the word oviv, yikalel as oviv. So there it refers to him cursing his father. At the end of the pasuk, you have the imoy kilo. It puts the word kilo to get next to the word imoy, meaning that he cursed his mother. So therefore, oviv kilo, imoy kilo, divid of Yoshia. So Rav Yoshia says that's what we learn from, because in the first half of the pasuk, it mentions yikalel in connection with his father, and in the second one, it mentions kilo in connection with his mother. Therefore, with that, the Torah is teaching us, he doesn't have to be that he curses both of them to be chayav nisa, even one of them he is. Give it of Yoshia. So that's what Rav Yoshia says. In other words, according to Rav Yoshia, the fact that it says above there, as Oviv v'es imoy, we would have said that it means both of them, unless, except for the fact that we have an implication from the pasuk otherwise. Rav Yonasan says, you don't need that. Mashma shneim ke'echad, the words es oviv ve'es imoy can mean both of them together, or mashma echad b'fnei asmoy, but it can equally well mean each one individually. But in other words, so by default, we assume that it means them separately. Adchi yifrit b'chakosiv yachdav, unless the Torah specifies by saying the word yachdav together, and then we know that it applies only to both of them together. For example, the Torah tells us, that you're not allowed to plow with an ox and a donkey yachdav. So according to Rabbi Yonasan, the point is, if it hadn't said the word yachdav, we would have thought you're not allowed to plow with an ox individually or you're not allowed to plow with an ox individually or a donkey individually. By saying the word yachdav, because again, according to him, the fact that it says that you can't plow with a shur vahamur could mean a shur or a hamur. But because the Torah says specifically when they're yachdav together, then it means the issur is only when they're both yoked together. So therefore, the point is, according to Rav Yonasan, you don't need the word oi to mean or, the word oi can mean or even a vav by itself can mean or, and we would assume by default that it means that. Tosfos elsewhere talks about that really, I mean, what would you think? You're not allowed to plow with an ox by itself or a donkey by itself. It means, in other words, even if, let's say, they're not harnessed to it or something. So, okay. In any case, so the point is, in other words, Rav Yonasan holds that you don't need the word oi to say that's one or the other, so therefore Hanania can hold like that, therefore according to him, you didn't need the word oi in shor oi se, and therefore according to him, you're able to learn it and therefore you don't need the word oi to tell us that it means not a shor and a se, and the baby of one of them, it means either a shor or a se, as well as the baby of one of them, and therefore he has the word oi available to teach us that it's that the issue applies to kilayim as well. As opposed to according to the other opinion, we learn the fact that it says v'noi, mean that it's only one or the other of them from the fact that it says v'noi in the singular. According to the Rabbanon, they hold that the word oisai in the pasuk, Asher is oisai v'esbenai, so they can learn from the word oisai that it means that it means only one of them. And then the fact that kilayim would be included, they're going to learn from the word oi. According to Hananya, he uses the word oisai for the derasha that he's going to say now, that this din applies also to the father animal, and therefore according to him, you don't need the word oi, l'chalik, to say that it's one or the other, because according to the Chachamim, oi is l'chalik, it's a divide, and say that it's one or the other. According to Hananya, he will hold like Rav Yonasan. You didn't need the word oi for that purpose, so therefore he has the word oi to be available for that. He doesn't use it l'chalik, and therefore he can use it to, he can use the word oi to say that it means one or the other, because otherwise it wasn't necessary. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My Hananya, my Rabbanon." So what are the respective opinions of Hananya and of the Rabbanon that are relevant to this?
So, so the Gemara says the Tanya, we don't have a Braisa. Oysev Espinoi, no even a Kavis, any no even a Schore. This issue of Oysev Espinoi only applies to the female, animal, to the mother and her, baby. So the baby, it doesn't matter the gender of the baby, but with the parent, it's only the mother, according to the Chachamim. It doesn't apply to the father animal. This is what we touched on in the previous parak, the concept called Ein Choshishin Lezerah Av. According to the Chachamim, we do not have to take into account the genetic contribution of the father towards the baby, and therefore even though biologically the baby is half from the father, nevertheless we don't have to worry about that, and the issue doesn't apply to that. Chananya Omar, but Chananya says no. It applies to both the father animal and the mother mother animal. So my time is at Abanan. Why does Chachamim hold that it doesn't apply to the mother? That it applies only to the mother. So the Tanya, because we're learning a Braisa. You would think that Oseh Vespinoy applies to both the father and the mother. But you'll learn the dinhu, but no, you can learn by dinian ad from Shabuah HaKan that it's not so. Because Chiyuv Kan, here you have a Chiyuv, the Torah tells us not to shech Oseh Vespinoy on one day. The Chiyuv, the Eimah Abonim, the Torah also tells us that Shabuah HaKan, which is going to be the subject of the last Perek of Amos Sefer, that also a person is chayav to partaking the mother when she's sitting together with her babies, or chicks, or her eggs. Now, there the Torah clearly spells out that it's Amy, mother. So now by Shiloh HaKan, specifically the mitzvah applies only to the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan, the mitzvah to not take. The mother applies only to the mother, because it specifically says in the pasuk Aim, Eloi Sikacha Aim al Abonim. So therefore that excludes the father. So just like over there, it applies only to the mother, Achshafiyav Khan, the same way here. By Oseh Vespinoy, Benekevus Flemus Kharim, it applies only to the female and not to the male, according to the first opinion over here. Now, Tosfos explains that actually there's more in it. You could argue the Torah mentioned Aim only because it's more common for the mother to be sitting there and incubating her eggs or protecting her chicks. How do you know that it specifically means not the father? So Tosfos says because the pasuk continues, Shaleach Teshalach Esha Aim. You should send away the mother. Now, it didn't need to repeat the word mother, it could have said Shaleach Teshalach Esha. So from that, we can learn that in fact it means that, that it applies only to the mother, not to the father. Well, therefore, again, Binyan Av will tell us the same thing is true over here by Oseh Vespinoy. But the Braisa continues, Loi, maybe that's not a valid comparison. Ima Marta Be'eman Abonim Shekein Le'osaba Mezuman Kshein Mezuman. When it comes to Shiloh HaKan, we have another kola in it, namely that when it's ready and available to you, then it's not the same thing as when it's not. Namely, in other words, the Torah introduces Shiloh HaKan by saying Ki kore kan sipor lefanecha. If there happens to be found in front of you a bird's nest, and when we learn about Shiloh HaKan in the last perek of Amos Sefer, then we'll learn that means it applies only if you come upon the nest. Not, for example, if a bird builds a nest, for example, if you have a birdhouse, you have, let's say, chicken poop or something, you don't have the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan over there. So mezuman over there, when it's ready for you, when it's been pre-prepared for you, then it's not the same thing. She'en mezuman as when it's not pre-prepared, and you don't have the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan in the first case. So how do you apply that to Shiloh HaKan? Where the Torah does make Mezuman and Shein Mezuman are the same thing. It doesn't matter whether you happen to come across these two animals or whether you own the two animals or whatever, the same issue applies. So you could argue that once you have a Chumrah in Oseh Vespinoy that applies to Mezuman, maybe there's another Chumrah that applies to the father animal as well, unlike Shiloh HaKan. So Talmud Lomar Oisoi. Therefore, continues the Braisa. Therefore, the pasuk says Oisoi, meaning Echad V'lo Shnayim. So Oisoi means him. So or it. So therefore, it means that it applies only to one, not the other. Now, Acha Shachilat Hakosu. Now, the Torah is giving us a distinction. The Torah is telling us, therefore, that it applies to only one parent, not the other. Now we still have to figure out, well, which one? Zochisi Ladin. Now we're able to make. to figure out logically by a binyan ab, chiyuv kan, the chiyuv the eimah abonim, because there you have, where you have a chiyuv over here, and you have a chiyuv for shaloh hakan, not chiyuv the eimah abonim, and the kevus v'lev is scoring, and by shaloh hakan, as we said, it applies only to the mother, not to the father, either because it says eim to begin with, according to Rashi, or because it repeats eim again, according to Tosfos. So then, aftan, the same, kaf chiyuv kan, the same thing, when it's machai over here, then the kevus v'lev is scoring, it would be only the mother, not the father. So, in other words, the idea is, Rashi explains, we needed both parts to it. We can't say, like this, we started with just a plain binyan av, but we said that wouldn't be good enough because the fact is, a binyan av, you can slog up by pointing out that one has a chumrah over the other. And over here, Shavuot HaKan has a chumrah over Shavuot HaKan, like we said, that applies to Mizuman as well. But once we see that by Osev Espinoy itself, by using the word oisoi, the Torah is excluding one parent from it. Now we can go back to Shaloh HaKan and we can derive from it that it means that it means after the mother and not the father. Now, in other words, you can't slug it up, mizuman and chain and mizuman, because what's the logic? Because of that, you should say it applies only to the father, not the mother. That wouldn't be any greater chumrah than the other, and therefore it means that we can derive that it is the same thing that they both apply only to the mother. Okay. So this is still all within the opinion of the Chachamim that he's kind of only for, so now we're still explaining the opinion of the Chachamim that it applies only to the female, only to the mother, not to the father. So we're saying, so this is what I says, explaining their logic. Again, since the Torah, on the one hand, since the Torah says Oisoi, that's clear that it applies to only one parent, and which parent will learn from Binyan Av, from Shavuot HaKan, that it means the mother. And Braisa continues, v'im nafshach loymar. Now, if you were inclined to argue against that, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second what the potential counter argument could have been, then I'll tell you a different answer. Not only does it say oisiv, but it also says b'noi, its child. So meaning, mishet b'noi koruf achrav, so therefore it applies only to when the child is attached to the parent and constantly follows it. Now, which parent does a child regularly follow, a child animal, is going to follow its mother? So, Yotza Zohar, Shein B'nai Korof Akrav, as opposed to then the male, where the son is not really the baby, whether it's son or daughter, doesn't matter for that purpose, so the baby animal is not really so attached to the father animal to constantly be following it around. So therefore, so even if you're going to argue that you can't learn from the word Oisoi, nevertheless, at least you can learn from the word Benoi, that it means only the mothers. Okay, the Gemara says mine. So the Gemara says mine nafshach loymar. So what's this nafshach loymar? What is the Braisa is implying that there could have been a counter argument to the limud from Oisoi and from Shaloh HaKan, and therefore the Braisa tells us that we have another way of learning it from the word Benoi. So the answer is v'chitema oisoi zohar mashma. After all, you could argue the word oisoi is in masculine form. So on the contrary, it should apply to the father, not to the mother. You're telling me that once we have the word oisoi, then it means it's excluding one gender of parent, and therefore you're going to tell me that we're going to learn a binyan ad from Shaloh HaKan and say that it applies only to the mother. On the contrary, though, you should say, fine, you have a mir that it applies only to one gender, but because the gender of the word itself in the Torah, Oisoi, is masculine, then therefore it should apply, if you're going to say it applies only to one, it should be only the father. Therefore, Harei Oima Binoi, that's where the Braisa continues, that because it says Binoi, it means Mishad Noi Korach Afra, means that it's the gender of parent, that the baby follows it around all the time, Yotze Zohar Shein Binoi Korach Afra, as opposed to the male animal, the male parent, which the baby doesn't follow it around all the time. So that is how the Chachamim will derive their opinion. Whereas the Hananiah, what about according to Hananiah's opinion, where he says it does apply to the father as well? Well then, how's he going to learn? He says, Ksiv Oisei Zohar, so you have like this. On the one hand, it says Oisoi. Now, like we said before, according to Hananiah, the word Oisoi is extra. According to the Chachamim, the word for them, the word Oi wasn't extra in the Pasuk. They needed it for the Drasha. to or on the contrary, they said the word Oso itself was available for once we're learning from Benoit, then the Chacham don't need the word Oso anymore, and therefore they can use the word Oso to learn that it means that it's a, as we said earlier, that even if you shef only a shur and its baby, or only a seh and its baby, then you're going to be chayav, not that it has to be a shur and a seh and the baby of one of them. So according to the Chacham, and that's how they learn it. Once we learn from Benoit, then Oso is extra, and therefore they learn a different din from it. Hananiah says, no, Oisoi is not extra. You have the word Oisoi, which implies that it's all, that it, which implies oh, that it's only in the Mashma Zachar, which implies the male, because Oisoi is in masculine form, Ochdib Benoi, but then you have its son, meaning Misha Benoi Korach Acharav, that it applies only to the parent that the baby regularly follows. So therefore, the Mashma Nekeva, which would be the female. So therefore, Hananiah says, Hilkach, no, then the Sforim Ben Menekevas. Therefore, he says, from that, you're going to put together, putting that all together, then it means it's going to be applicable both to the father animals and the, it's going to be applicable both to the mother animal and the father animal, according to Hananiah. Now, Tosfos says that in that case, according to Hananiah, why does it have to say Oiso or Bno? You just say Bain. Just say the Shur Oise or Bain or something. But Tosfos says no, because, the word ben itself implies that it follows the parent. It's not so much, in other words, the fact that it says benoi versus ben, the very word ben itself implies something that follows its parent. So we include that. And again, the word oisoi is going to mean that it also applies to the father as well. So we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow. That's the Shem we'll talk about. The Gemara is going to bring that the halacha is like Hananiah, but then the Gemara is going to bring more on this topic of this. We're going to discuss this whole topic of Chush and Zera Ha'av in detail. The post can explain that it's actually a suffix whether the halacha follows Hananiah or the Rabbanan. So now with a mother animal and a baby animal, it's very easy to tell that this is this one's baby, and therefore you wouldn't be able to shef them. With the father, what it says in Shulchan Aruch is, if you know that this particular male animal is the father of this one, then you shouldn't shef them on the same day. If the person would, he wouldn't necessarily be kind of malchus. Well, malchus is not applicable nowadays anyway, but he wouldn't necessarily be over on an Isur Daraisa, because maybe the halacha is like Hananiah, that we pay attention to that. Maybe the halacha is like a Chachamim that we do not, but in any case, it would be also to do, because it would be also to do. So again, if you don't know, you don't have to avoid shechting any. You don't have to avoid shechting any two male animals on the same day on the concern that one of them is the father of the other. But if you know, and nowadays they do. Nowadays they keep track of such things to know which father. Which male animal fathered which one? So you shouldn't shecht them both on the same day. But if he shechted, then he doesn't get malchus, because again it's a suffix whether it applies to both the males and the females. Basically, in other words, the suffix is whether the halacha is like Hananiah or not. So we'll continue talking about that detail. We'll continue talking about that tomorrow night. Matzah Shabbos. That's Hashem.